Welcome to lesson four, Marketing You. Thomas Edison, the famous inventor, had a hard lesson early in his inventing days. Using his brilliance, he created an automatic vote recorder. He knew that his invention would save politicians hours of time every day because they could log their vote and it would automatically tally up the votes and kick out a result. But politicians hated the idea. They didn't want something that saved them time. Politicians liked the backroom dealing and maneuvering that would be made obsolete with automatic voting. Edison may have been onto something, but his audience wasn't buying it. According to an article on Smithsonian.com, after that fiasco, Edison, quote, vowed he would not invent a technology that didn't have an apparent market, that he wasn't just going to invent things for the sake of inventing them, but to be able to sell them, end quote. Then there's Jim Henson, creator of The Muppets and Sesame Street, who took a different approach. He had film projects he wanted to create, like Labyrinth and The Dark Crystal, but he didn't want the market to take creative control of these projects. He wanted them to be exactly how he wanted them to be. But making a movie ain't cheap, and Henson knew that he had to engage commerce and make money in other ways in order to subsidize his creative pursuits that might not be profitable. He used his commercially popular work to fund his creative work, giving him the best of both worlds, creating for the sake of creating and a wildly profitable career in the performing arts. Edison learned the hard way that being creative is one thing, but being a creative entrepreneur means you have to pay attention to what your market will buy. You need to make money to be in business. Let me say that differently. All entrepreneurs are creative, but not all creatives are entrepreneurs. If you've chosen the path of creative entrepreneurship, you need to be able to sell your creations to a market that will buy them. And you need to do that in a way that sustains you and your company. That is what I mean when I talk about building a profitable and sustainable business doing what you love. Maybe you're in business because you fell into it, or maybe it was an intentional decision to make a paying career out of doing what you love, what you're passionate about. Either way, the old saw of do what you love and the money will follow is slightly inaccurate. As a creative, it's important to do what you love and follow the money a little bit too. Otherwise, you'll end up broke. And that's why you'll hear me say repeatedly that the most important product that your company has to offer is you. As a creative entrepreneur, your business is an extension of who you are. Unless and until you grow a business to the size of Edison or Henson, your face is going to be intimately connected to the work you're doing. Now, you are not your work. You are a product inside your company. People are buying the way you show up and do things, so long as it's in alignment with what they want and what they need. That is why marketing is so critical. Marketing is how people learn you even exist. It's how they learn about your offers, how you develop the know, like, and trust factor that eventually leads to sales. Marketing is how you communicate everything to your audience, from your logo, fonts, and color choices to the content of your social media and blog posts. Marketing leads to sales, but it isn't sales. It's the language that makes sales possible. Marketing sets the tone, tells the stories, and creates the quote-unquote image of your company. Your messaging is delivered through your marketing. Marketing can be challenging, though, when you don't have audience clarity or when you're not consistently marketing. If your brand is all over the map, if your message is all over the map, it makes it hard for people to know what you do or how to refer buyers to you. If you're not marketing consistently, people forget you exist or aren't sure you're still in business. We expect to hear marketing messages from companies, and when we don't, they lose mindshare. That means you're not on their mind anymore when they think about the kinds of things you offer. Now, there's a fine line here between marketing consistently and being pushy. We'll talk about that when we get to our lesson on writing copy. Marketing requires a bit of confidence. If you're not confident in yourself, your offers, or your pricing for those offers, you'll have a hard time telling people about your work. You got to have at least some level of enthusiasm for the work you're doing. Marketing is easier when you can share with enthusiasm. Marketing is critical. You can't just send one tweet, email, or blog post and expect miracles. You've got to have a system for continually marketing so that you keep generating leads for your business. Les McKeown, author of the book Predictable Success, talks about a problem he calls the artisan trap. It's the problem most artisans face when they're a company of one. They invest their time making a thing, then they shift gears to focus their time on marketing that thing until it sells. Then they shift back into maker mode and put all their time there. As you'll recall from our last lesson, your 4D mix needs a little bit of marketing all of the time. Otherwise, you'll be stuck in the artisan trap of make it, market it, sell it, make it, market it, sell it, and never have time for yourself. If you want to be an artisan, that's fine, but that's really a hobby, not a business, and you wouldn't need this apprenticeship. So let's get you out of the artisan trap and start building a marketing system that lets you have a balanced 4D mix, shall we? One of the reasons marketing needs to be an ongoing activity is that people need time to know you exist, and then they need more time to become aware of the offers you have that meet their needs. I see far too many people trying to sell stuff 2 weeks after they start marketing it. You can sell a few things that way, but you miss out on a whole lot of people that might have bought from you if they'd had more time to save their money or make a buying decision. In a future marketing lesson, we'll talk about awareness levels and how people at different levels of awareness need different language in order to hear what you're saying. For now, just know that unless a buyer is aware of you and ready to buy from you, they're going to miss out, and so are you. You need to be planting seeds at least a month before you want to sell something so that people can prepare. You don't always have to be in launch mode, and evergreen doesn't mean you never market. There's a happy middle ground where you can be marketing consistently and generating sales on a regular basis. That means you have to develop a marketing strategy, which is a mix of tactics that work for the way you prefer to work and the way your audience wants to engage with you. Now, there are lots of tactics you can try, and we'll explore more than a few in our time together. Experiment and see what brings the best results for you. Now, if you're just starting out, I recommend staying away from any paid tactics like ads or affiliate sales until you've got a clear message that you know will resonate with your buyers. You're probably just wasting your money. Your message, at least in part, comes from who you are, what your journey has been, and how you want to see the world changed by the work you're creating. If you are the most important product your company has to offer, we need to know more about that product, more about you. Who are you? What is this business all about? We'll cover some of this next month in your mindset lesson as well, but for now, let's take a look at your container. When I work with my coaching clients, I use what I call the 360-degree business design approach. And that means we look at how you fit into the business and how the business fits into your life. Your personal context, especially in the early stages of growth, is vitally important because without you, there is no business. It's important then that we take into account what your life is like and, more importantly, how you want it to be as the business grows. The goal then is to build a business that supports your lifestyle instead of trying to spackle your life into the cracks of your business. What is your personal context at the moment? What are the constraints of your container? Where do you live? What kind of time do you have to dedicate to working in your business? Are you a morning person or a night owl? How is your health? And how will that impact your ability to work consistently? What do you need to do to care for yourself so that you can work consistently? All of those questions and more contribute to getting a better understanding of how you can set yourself up to do your best work. Knowing your environment and setting it up for success makes a big difference in your ability to stay the course during the ups and downs of a growing business. As we examine your personal container and the constraints of that container, we also have to ask, what's already in there? Who's in your life? Who's in your company? And how's that working for you? What do you want it to look like in the future? Because that might change things. Remember, this is for your eyes only, so get ruthlessly honest here. Don't say you want changes that you know you won't make. Be real about your expectations for yourself. As your business grows, you can and will revisit this container exercise because things will change. Another thing that helps us understand how you operate is your creative entrepreneur type. If you haven't already taken the quiz, I encourage you to do so. It'll give you some great insights into how you're naturally wired to do things and the stumbling blocks that keep you from success. Remember, everything is an opportunity for awareness, and the sooner you get clarity on how you're wired and how you prefer to work, the sooner you can start setting things up to work for you. And as you're examining your container, we next ask, how much are you willing to put in your container? What will you allow into this container? We all have a threshold above which we struggle to operate. Once you hit that ceiling, your subconscious will start to sabotage things, or your body will just revolt and you'll start seeing physical ailments and illnesses manifest in an effort to slow you down and bring you back inside your threshold. Part of the reason we use the cycle of excellence is to gently stretch you and raise your ceiling a little bit at a time. But there are some things that are likely to remain fairly constant. That is, your values and your core beliefs. All these things, your values and core beliefs, how you prefer to work, what you're willing to allow in your container, they all help determine who can work with you. If I don't want to work late nights, then people overseas won't be able to hire me. If I prefer not to do one-on-one work, then people who need that won't choose to work with me. If I have a certain set of beliefs that someone can't tolerate, then they won't choose to work with me. So it's better to know these non-negotiables now and build your business in a way that supports them. If people don't like your container, they won't choose to work with you. Getting clear on these constraints now will give you peace of mind as you grow your business. A reminder, these things are less important when you've got a multinational company and numerous employees. They can pick up the slack and may be wired in ways that complement you. Your team may very well enjoy doing the work that bothers you, which gives you new audiences that you can grow into at a later date. For now, though, since it's likely just you, then you matter a great deal to the success and well-being of the company. Your assignment for this lesson is to take a good look at your container. What are your core beliefs and values, and how do they relate to your business? This is a critical piece of your messaging and branding, so take the time to do this work. And don't be surprised if you get a little emotional about it. What do you believe about the work that you're trying to accomplish? What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about the world that needs this work? All of these answers will be valuable in crafting your sales and marketing messages in future lessons. As always, celebrate your awarenesses and wins. Remember that everything is an opportunity for awareness. So if you're feeling some resistance to doing this exercise, that's an interesting awareness. Keep documenting any shifts you've been making. Clarity goes a long way toward helping you make better decisions. And celebrate. You've made it to the end of the first cycle of excellence. Yay! You've taken your first steps in each of these four essentials of a profitable, sustainable business. Next month, we're going to start the second cycle of excellence, and you'll be able to see your skill set growing little by little with each rotation of the cycle we take. Great job, and I'll see you in lesson 5.